G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you have a Bible, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 11, give me an oi when you're there. So it says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who was from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So we started last week and we were talking about what it means to move in the Spirit. And I just want to recap a couple of things and then go on from there. Notice in verse 11 it says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You are a spiritual man. What things are known within you, your spirit knows. Hey. And that says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? You are a spiritual man. And then in verse 14 it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So verse 14 shows you are a natural man. And we talked a little bit about this. I don't want to get into a detail, but there is a common understanding of verse 14, and I was taught it, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I think there's great merit in it, where it says the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. The common understanding is that that's talking about the person who's not born again. That natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And so the common understanding is the natural man is the person who's not born again, and the spiritual man is the person who is born again. And I'm not saying that that's wrong at all, but I've come to discover that this scripture means something else. And in the process of discovering it, it has been of great personal value to me, particularly when we're talking about moving in the Spirit. The other understanding is that that you are a natural man and you are a spiritual man. And how can a man know what's within him? The scripture says in verse 11, it's the spiritual man that knows the things of a man. And the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. You are a natural man and you are a spiritual man. And so I want to recap a little bit of that. I would encourage you, if you didn't make it here last week, get the download and listen to it, because this foundation really builds. You're not going to understand. You're not going to be able to be free to flow in the Spirit if you don't understand. This is a foundational truth. And I don't want to re-preach last week's message, but I just want to highlight some things. So, you know, there are two realms of existence. There is the natural realm and there is the spiritual realm, or I call it the supernatural realm, but it's the same thing. The natural realm is not evil, right? The natural realm is everything that's governed by natural laws. Toya understands some things about natural laws. He's an engineer by trade. And so you understand, you're taught about natural laws. You're taught about the laws of physics, the laws of nature. And engineers and other people will use those natural laws in this natural world to benefit us. someone with some understanding of the laws of electricity wired up this place. And so we don't need to understand that. All we need to do is just flick a switch. But it's harnessing the natural laws. There is a natural world. It's not evil. It's not evil to turn on the lights. If it's dark, turn it on. But there's also a spiritual world. There's two realms of existence. And your natural man is necessary to operate in the natural world. You will not be able to drive a car unless you use your natural man. I will certainly not drive in a car with you if you don't want to use your natural man. So your natural man is made, and it's not bad, it's not evil, but it's made to be used to function in this natural world. But you also are a spiritual man. And that other realm, there's another realm, a spiritual realm. And it's governed by spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws, just like there are natural laws. It's so important. And you know, part of reading the Word of God is discovering what some of these spiritual laws are. Because these laws work. They're working in your life right now. If you're ignorant of them, it doesn't matter. It'll still work. The problem is if you don't know what they are and how they work, they're probably working against you. I had a friend who fancied himself as a bit of a repairman, liked to tinker around with electronic stuff. His TV was playing up and he decided he would try to fix it. They found him dead several days later. He was thrown across the lounge room. He didn't fully understand the natural laws that govern electricity. But that didn't stop it operating in his life. Can you see what I'm saying? Spiritual laws are real. In fact, they're more real than natural laws. And whether you know what they are, whether you believe that they're there or not, will not stop them from operating. But it's the spiritual man that discerns these things. And so when you read the Word, you read it with your spiritual man. Hey, and so the spiritual realm is governed by spiritual laws. It's discerned with spiritual senses. You have spiritual senses. And it's manipulated by your spiritual man. Your natural man can manipulate the natural world. How does, you know, Pete was a builder in his earlier days. And so people would pay him money to build houses or renovate a bathroom or a kitchen or extend and make a deck or build a retaining wall. What did he do? He used his natural man and his understanding of natural laws in that trade to put together those things. He was able to manipulate the natural realm using his natural man. God has given us a spiritual man. And that spiritual man is able to manipulate the spiritual realm. And the problem that people have is they're trying to manipulate the spiritual realm with their natural man. And you can't do it. Your natural man can cook a meal, read a book. Your spiritual man can minister healing. Your spiritual man can lead someone to Christ. Your spiritual man can receive revelation and guidance from God. And so you need to use spiritual means to access the spiritual man. And we covered these last week, so I'm just going to name them and not go into it. What are the spiritual means? You know, like there's tools in the natural realm. Well, there are tools in the spiritual realm to manipulate the spiritual realm. What are they? And we went in great detail last week. So your words, the things that you speak, especially if you believe what you say, it can access and draw from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Hey, your faith, the promises of God, that's what causes you to become a partaker of God's nature, is his promises. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, is a powerful, powerful weapon. And I might share a little bit more about that as we go on. Your spiritual senses. You have spiritual senses. You have spiritual eyes. Don't just look at something just with your natural eyes. Look with the eyes of your spirit. because there are things you can't see with your natural eyes, but it doesn't mean they're not true and they're not real. I remember early in my marriage with Joy, our daughter was having these nightmares. We didn't know what was going on. She was having these terrible, terrible nightmares. And Joy said to me, something's wrong. We need to pray. You know, like it just wasn't like her to have these nightmares. And then she started drawing these strange creatures in her drawing and stuff. And we prayed. And God showed us that there was something spiritual that had been released. We had this guy who was boarding with us, and he brought something with him. I don't want to go into all the details. I'll just to say God showed us what it was. He showed us what its name was, and he told us how we could deal with it. We could just cast it out. We have authority to do that, hey? But we needed to look with more than just our natural eyes, hey? And after we did that, Tara never had another nightmare. She was fine, completely fine. In fact, she had a supernatural encounter with God, an amazing encounter. But anyway, that's another story. But you have spiritual senses. You got spiritual eyes. You got spiritual ears. That's why Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not because there were some people in the audience that had nothing on the sides of their head. Everybody had physical ears, but he was saying, whoever has got spiritual ears, let him hear what I'm really saying. Don't just hear what you're hearing. Hear it here. Hear it in here. You know, God can add stuff. Hey, this is so important. These things that I'm talking to you about are absolutely essential. You and I ought to be doing extraordinarily better than the unsaved. Extraordinary. You ought to be outperforming people at your work. Hands down, it's not even close. Why? Because we have an extraordinary advantage. Our spiritual man has been awakened. And if you're not using that, well, you're just a meathead. You're just like anybody else. And so you've got spiritual senses. You've got a spiritual nose. You've got spiritual hands. You got a spiritual mind, hey. The only one I didn't mention last week that I'm aware of, and I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, but I think it's pretty close. There probably are some other things, but your imagination is another powerful, powerful means by which you can manipulate the spiritual realm. Hey, God has given us an imagination, and some people have this idea that an imagination is just for children. No, we use our imagination all the time. When you're stuck in traffic, and you're trying to think of an alternative route because you've got a time you need to be somewhere, what are you doing? You go in your imagination, you're picturing, what if I take the next turn off? I can go there and there. That might work. We use our imagination all the time, but it's not just used to get out of traffic. God's given us an imagination because without the imagination, you will never, ever move into the limitless power of God. Your logical mind will stop you. Your logical mind will say, dude, that's just not going to happen. That just doesn't happen. That can't happen. And you're discounting the supernatural power of God. It's your imagination that says, could that be possible? It's with the imagination that we can begin to picture the infinite and the eternal. Your logical mind says, infinite? There's nothing that's infinite. What do you mean? Never stops? It's ageless? Your logical mind will short circuit. But your imagination says, yeah, I can see that. I can imagine that. And so these are things that you can use to be able to manipulate the spiritual realm. Hey, so I want to move towards moving in the spirit. Hey, so have a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to share a few kind of basic things. These are, I guess I've titled it Precursors to Moving in the Spirit. So if you understand you are a natural man and you are a spiritual man, you understand you have a spiritual man and it's meant to be used. It's meant to function, right? God didn't give you a spiritual man just to use when you get to heaven. When you see someone who's frustrated or depressed or someone who struggles with an addiction, You're looking at someone who's not operating out of their spiritual man. Your spiritual man, from the day that you came to Christ, your spiritual man has never ever been frustrated. Your spiritual man has never ever been depressed. Your spiritual man has all the answers. The scripture says, we know all things. 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse 27. Either 27 or verse 20. It says, you are of God, little children, and you know all things. I remember when I first read it, I thought, I didn't know that. But it's talking about your spirit. It's not talking about your mind. And God has given you a spiritual man for you to use that to manipulate the spiritual realm for your advantage. And a person that struggles with depression or an addiction is a person that has not learned how to move in the spirit. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody, because there's levels of this, isn't there? And we're all growing and we're all developing. It's not for you to look at what you don't have, but look at the possibilities of what God wants you to have. And then say, God, I want this. I want to move in this direction. Teach me. Help me to learn. And the first step is understand you are a spiritual being. And you also are a natural being. And it's not evil to be natural, but you can't use the natural man to manipulate the spirit. People that are like people who, let me give you some examples of people that are trying to use the natural man to change something in the spirit. It's like, let's say you've got terrible way of thinking. You're just thinking wrong thoughts. And you're thinking, oh, what do I do? I gotta stop thinking like that. I gotta stop thinking like that. And the more you say that, it's like you're thinking like that all the time. You feel like it's getting worse and worse. Or a person, like, I really enjoy eating food. So I haven't changed in that sense. But I felt like I couldn't control that at one stage. That it was, And you know, the harder I tried, and then I need to use my will. I'm just going to have a strong willpower. If I just make up my mind, then I can do this. It just wasn't working for me. It's just like I'd be thinking, I'm hungry. How long till I can eat? You know, like, so these are just trying to give you examples of how people try to use the natural man to change something that has a spiritual root, right? But if you use the spiritual man, if you understand, I am spiritual. I am a son of God. The creator of the universe lives in me. I wonder what would it be like if you really allowed that truth to dwell in you. You become aware of the power of God within you. I'm not alone. That one little truth, I'm not alone. God lives in me. Can eradicate all fear and worry out of your life. Your boss can come up and say, look, you know, we're going to have to cut back and, you know, we're going to put you down to one day a week. And you're thinking in your natural man, what do I do? But if in the spirit you realize who you are and you realize I am loved, God loves me, He'll never leave me, and He's with me. There's a peace. You may not understand in your mind exactly what you're going to do, but you know there's a peace. I know I can move forward. Hey, I know, because I've been there in a lot of these situations. I haven't experienced everything, but there's some of these things that I'm mentioning to you I have experienced. And it's understanding what the spiritual man is and realizing I am a spiritual person. So with the overeating, the eating too much and not being able to control my eating, it was a matter of just realizing, God, I am loved of you. I don't need this. But it's allowing His love for me and His desire for me, understanding His desire for me is so great, I'm just going to do it your way. And when I just became so overwhelmed with His love for me, those temptations became so much smaller. I don't know if you're seeing what I'm saying. Instead of fighting the temptation, no, I can't. And people are trying to do that with all sorts of addictions. Instead of doing that, get into the spirit man and realize I am loved immensely. And even if I fall in this area, I'm still loved. It's not going to change God's heart to me. But God, you've got a better way. A far, far better way. and allow that to become so big in your eyes that suddenly that temptation becomes so small in your eyes. The devil keeps people in addictions because he keeps people under the law. Dude, you know you're not allowed to do that. You can't do that. God's not going to love you if you do that. Just break that first and foremost. You're not under law. Amen? You're under grace. It doesn't mean that you just want to live how you want. A person who's born again wants to please God. But it's being free of that sense of I ought to do this or God's not going to accept me or love me that sets you free to be able to do the things that you know God wants you to do. So Romans 8, give me an oy if you're there, verse 1. So these, I want to talk about some precursors to moving in the Spirit. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So notice there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. People struggle with condemnation because they're walking according to the flesh. They're walking in the natural man instead of walking in the Spirit and moving in the Spirit. If you move in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And there's a lot of things that are in here, but what's being contrasted, it's really contrasting someone who's trying to do spiritual things with their natural man. And it's saying you will not overcome condemnation if you just operate out of your natural man. You will not be able to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law if you operate out of your natural man. How do you do it? You understand, I am a spiritual man. I am holy. Is that right? Are we holy? Yeah, the Bible says that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. It says, he has reconciled you in himself and presented you holy and blameless. And you're not waiting to get holy. You are holy. Yeah, but Pastor Les, I've got this area of my life that I just don't have victory over. But the scripture says you're holy. It doesn't say you're holy if you do good things. It says you are holy. You are blameless. We're not holy because we're good or we do holy things. We're holy because Jesus made us holy. He reconciled us. And it's understanding that. I already am holy. I already am victorious over sin. You're now beginning to enter into the spiritual man and you're activating the spiritual man. And when that truth becomes bigger and bigger in your eyes, suddenly that sin or that way of thinking or that addiction or that depression has no more power over you because you realize, I'm not alone. God has wonderful plans. He lives in me and he is leading me. So a precursor to moving in the Spirit is understand your natural man will fight against your spiritual man. And it will fight for one thing, to control your mind. Remember it says that in Galatians? It says the Spirit fights against the flesh. Hey, and these things are contrary one to another. And you know what people do? They're trying to think, well, I need to get in the Spirit. So if I read my Bible, if I pray, if I go to church, if I memorize scriptures, if I fast, if I do all of these things, then I can get into the Spirit. No. You're trying to use the natural man to get into the Spirit again. What does Galatians say? How do you overcome the flesh? It says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Everybody's trying to overcome the flesh to walk in the Spirit. If you could do that, Jesus wouldn't have needed to go to the cross. The answer to overcoming problems in your natural man, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's an emotional problem, the answer is not willpower or praying longer or reading more of the Bible. The answer is walk in the Spirit. Realize you already are. The natural man is, sorry, the spiritual man is, the natural man tries. You are healed. You are victorious. You are peaceful. You are sinless. You are undefeated. Am I telling you anything new? Is this what the Scripture says? Yes. This is what the Scripture says. 1 John chapter 4 says in verse 17, as he is, so are we. Is he sinless? So are we. Is he victorious? Well, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say, so are we in heaven, so are we in this world. Is he filled with wisdom? So are we in this world. And so the answer to overcoming problems in our life is to activate the spiritual man. But here's the first thing I wanted you to understand. Your natural man will fight your spiritual man for control of your mind. Your natural man will say, that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. What, you think that just praising God is going to do something? What's that going to do? You need to get an answer here. You need to do something. You don't have enough money to pay all these bills. What are you going to do? What, praying's going to help? And, you know, praying from the right perspective or reading the word from the right perspective, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't pray and read the word to try to be more spiritual. If you never ever pray, for the rest of your life, it will not change how God feels towards you. Because his love for you is unconditional. Either it's unconditional or it's not. And we always hear about how God's love is unconditional. And we lead someone to Christ, and then the moment they come to Christ and they're talking about their problems, then we start putting conditions on his life to them. Well, you've been praying, you've been reading your Bible, you've been coming to church. Well, no wonder you've got problems. His love for you is unconditional. If you never pray for your entire life, he will still love you the same. If you never read your Bible, if you never come to church, if you never give a single cent, God will still love you the same. It's just that these things are good because it keeps your heart soft. It doesn't change God's heart. God's not going to say, oh, they've been reading for a few days in a row now. They've been reading their Bible. Hey, I'm going to start talking to them again. No. But you may find if you're reading the word regularly and you haven't been doing it, you may find you're hearing the voice of God better. It's because your heart's softening. Not God's heart. It's your heart. And so there's great value in coming to church. There's great value in doing all of the spiritual disciplines, but you don't do it to be more spiritual. Understand, you are a spiritual being. Your natural man will fight you and will want to control your mind. Remember when Jesus, he was with the disciples out in the wilderness and they hadn't eaten for a few days, and he said, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these people? And the Bible says he said this, he knew what he was going to do, but he said this to test them. And you can see how they were just so connected to the natural. They were operating from their natural man because they're going like, man, even 200 denarii worth of food's not going to be, 200 denarii is like 200 days worth of wages. It's probably like $50,000-$60,000. And they're thinking, not even 50 grand worth of fish and chips is going to be enough to feed this lot. Like, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. And one of them, Andrew, he kind of saw a kid with his lunch. Oh, there's a little boy here with five little bits of bread and two fish. And then he got back into his natural man. Oh, but what's that going to do? I mean, see, your natural man will fight you for control. It will fight your spiritual man. Hey, and if you stay in the natural, you'll be in a situation like that and you'll say, it's impossible. There's nothing we can do. Let's just send the multitudes away. And finally, Jesus, he got them to start seeing the possibilities with God. And when Andrew said, there's a little boy here with five loaves and two fish, Jesus leapt to that and he grabbed that and he said, make the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Bring that food to me. When you get in the Spirit, your natural man will instantly become subordinate to your spiritual man. This is so, so freeing. Hey, this is the answer to overcoming any problem in your life. Just walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Instantly. If you're finding you're worrying or you're angry about a situation and you're just so stirred up, all you're doing is you're staying in your natural man. Get into the Spirit. And the moment you get into the Spirit, instantly your natural man will subordinate itself. And that temptation, which just seems so big a few minutes ago, seems so little. It just melts away. Your natural man is so powerful because it's fused with the Creator of the universe. That's how I was able to curb my appetite. That's how you can calm your nerves. That's how you receive your healing. That's how you break a habit. That's how you stop your anger from boiling over. It's not by operating in the natural man, but by staying and moving in the Spirit. Everything you need is in your Spirit. Hey, the healing that you need, the deliverance, the wisdom, the presence of God, the prosperity, it's all in the Spirit. That revolutionized my life. When I realize I'm not lacking anything, I've already got it. I'm not waiting for God to do anything. I've already got it. All I've got to do is cooperate with Him. And as I cooperate with Him, He's going to show me how I can take what's in the Spirit and manifest it into the natural realm. You know, if you're going to move in the Spirit, you have to value the things of the Spirit. Hey. It's got to be something that you desire to do. And no one can force you to do that. Hey, I wonder how handy do you think it would be if you're ministering to others or sharing your faith? How handy do you think it would be if you moved in the Spirit? I'm just going to take this off. I'm getting hot. How handy do you think it would be if you were ministering to others? I remember when I was sharing my faith one time with a guy I'd never met before. Actually, there was two of us, and we'd gone to this university. We'd never been to this university, Monash University, but we just felt we needed to go there, and we wanted to go and share our faith. And so we prayed, and we asked the Lord to show us someone that needed ministry. And God showed us. And so we wrote down a description of the sort of person we saw. So you can do this if you learn how to move in the Spirit. And so then we just went looking for a person with this description. And we found the person. He was sitting in the cafeteria. And so we went up to him and we said, hey, look, you got some time to spare? You know, like we were praying and God showed us someone that looks just like you. And so we wanted to come and talk to you. And so he said, all right, you know, so he sat down. He kind of thought it was a bit weird, and as you probably would, you know. And so we just started talking to him, and we were just having just some general conversation. And then my friend said to him, what do you think about God? And this guy said, oh, I'm an atheist. And when he said that, without even thinking about it, I said to him, I said, no, you're not. And then I sort of caught myself. I thought, what did I just say? I don't even know this guy. And he looked at me like, what? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, no, you're not. And now he's looking at me like, dude, who are you? Who are you to tell me? And he said, I'm an atheist. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I said, yes, you do. And now he's just like, what? And then I found myself saying, I'll prove it to you. And when I said that, I thought, I just started praying within myself. I said, God, what have I just done? How am I going to prove to this guy he's not an atheist? So when I said, I'll prove it to you, he just leaned back and crossed his arms. He goes, come on, hero, show me. He didn't say that, but you could see in his body language it was like that. Prove it. And so I just went within myself. My natural man was saying, dude, you're going down in flames. Hey, you're not going to find the answer in the natural man. I just went within myself and I said, God, I don't know what to say to this guy. I don't even know why I told him he's not an atheist. And then as I did, I got a picture of a child on their knees crying out to God. And I said to him, I said, there have been times in your life that you've been desperate. And I said, you've got on your knees and you cried out to God when no one else was around. And he bowed his head and he said, you're right. He said, you're right. He'd forgotten about it. It was years ago. I wonder how valuable it would be if you're ministering to someone to be able to move in the Spirit. Sharing your faith. I remember Joy and I were ministering to a couple, this lady. She was having terrible, terrible nightmares and really being afflicted. And we knew her partner and he contacted us and he said, can we come? She wasn't even born again. So we led her to the Lord and then we began to pray. And, you know, like she'd been just having these horrible nightmares they'd been having for a number of weeks. And as we began to pray, straight away, Joy just got into the spirit realm and she saw this American Indian female warrior dressed with war paint and feathers and everything. And Joy said, it was really funny because we were sitting like here and she was here and Bart was next to her. Bart was her partner and Joy said, I can see an American Indian warrior standing behind you. And as soon as we said that, Bart went and he went around the other side of the table. We didn't know what that meant. Joy said, what does that mean? And this girl, she opened up and she said, when I was a baby, my mother dedicated me to an American Indian warrior that had passed away and had called on this spirit to look out for me and to look after me. This was a demonic entity. And now she was experiencing some of the repercussions of allowing this thing in her life. Well, it didn't take long to get rid of it. We have so much greater authority than what the enemy has. Hey, what I'm trying to point out to you is how handy is it to be able to move in the Spirit? How important is it? How much red tape can you cut across in people's lives? All of their intellectual arguments. I remember there was a kid at school. He was an atheist. And he would often come and we would talk. He knew I was the chaplain, but he wanted to talk to me about the existence of God. And we would have these friendly debates and talking to him. And we talked for probably a year and a half, on and off. And it came to a place where he could finish my sentences. Like he would say, yeah, but what about this? And before I would even launch it, I would just start. And he goes, yeah, I know you. You're saying that it's this or it's that. He could understand what I was saying, but for some reason he couldn't make that step. For some reason it was still his logical brain. And I remember I said to the Lord one day, I said, I don't know what more to say to him. Kostya, his name is. Micah and Joel know him. And the Lord said to me, I want you to start talking about my presence. And so that's what I did. And I didn't just talk to him. Students would come to my office every morning tea. And so I would just do a little devotional for 3 or 4 minutes and talk about the presence of God. For the entire week, I did that. Hey, at the end of that week, Kostya came and saw me. He said, I need to see you. He said, can we make an appointment for me to see you? And I said, yeah, sure. So I made an appointment. He came and saw me. And he said, last night, he said, I went home. And when I went in my room, I felt the presence of God. And I said, well, how do you know it was God? He looked at me like, why am I trying to convince you? You know, like, and I said, well, how do you know it was the presence of God? He said, it felt wonderful. He said, I just knew it was God. He goes, he said to me, I don't know what to do about that. I said, you know what to do. I said, I'm not going to tell you. And he said, yeah, but what? And he started putting his intellectual arguments. So I said, we're not going to talk about that. You told me you felt the presence of God. So now go back to class and you work out what you're going to do. Now he went back to class. Well, I didn't need to see him. I heard on the Monday. That was a Friday. On the Monday, I heard people were coming to me saying, have you heard what's happened to Kostya? And I said, no. They said, man, he has found Jesus. And he was just preaching to everyone. He could not stop talking about the Lord. The presence of God was so real to him. The forgiveness that he experienced in his life, the reality of Jesus was just so strong and overwhelming. He was a notorious atheist. As notorious as he was as an atheist, even more so was he now for the king. He would drag, I don't know, the number of students he would drag to my office saying, this guy needs to be born again. I go, Kostya, it doesn't work like that. He has to want it. What value do you put on moving in the Spirit? Because this is the ability that God gives us to cut through all sorts of intellectual arguments. I wonder what value it could have in your job. It's not, when I look back on it, it's not surprising the fruit, the extraordinary fruit that I saw in the chaplaincy at my school. And not just my school, any school that I went to. There were numerous schools. I went and became an interim chaplain. The chaplain had burnt out in two other schools. They wanted an experienced chaplain to come in. I filled in for 5 months. In both of those schools, at the end of the 5 months, separate to each other, the principal of both of those schools pulled me aside and said, we want you to come next year and be full-time at our school. And I said, no, I belong back in my school. I was only doing this. I'm not boasting about myself. I'm just telling you, this is what's available to you. To operate out of the spiritual man where you have such extraordinary fruit and favor because people see this is working in your life. I wonder how valuable it could be in your workplace. How valuable would it be in terms of if you needed to buy a property or a used car? How valuable could it be if you had a business opportunity? Or an investment. Instead of just looking and adding up all of the numbers and saying, well, I guess, yeah, it looks like it's going to be profitable. How about you sink into and drop into that spiritual realm and then talk to God with your spiritual mouth and look with your spiritual eyes and listen with your spiritual ears about the things you can't see with your natural man. I had a friend, an architect and an accomplished architect that had done many wonderful things, and he was offered a partnership in a business. This guy was going to had a great vision and a great business plan, and he was a Christian. It was just an amazing opportunity for him to move into this. He jumped at it. And for the next 5 years, he was looking for every opportunity to jump out because he never, ever got into the Spirit to check with God, is this really as good as what it looks like in the natural? The guy was a Christian by label and that's all. He had such, he just had double standards. There was hypocrisy in his life and he wouldn't bat an eyelid to rip people off or lie to them if it meant getting and securing a sale. And my friend lost millions upon millions of dollars in that venture, hey? And it took him years to recover from that. You need to value the things of the Spirit if you're going to move in the Spirit. You got to be willing that even when your natural man is saying, yeah, dude, do this. This is it. This is it. This is it. But something deep inside is saying, no, this is not it. You need to value that. Otherwise, you're never going to move in it. Hey, not to any significant extent. Hey, hallelujah. How much time and heartache could you save if you're a single person and you're looking for a partner? How much time and heartache could you save if you started to learn and practice dropping into the Spirit and hearing what God has to say about it. Not just looking at the physical, like, oh, wow, they're really nice. Or trying to find a way. You know, too many Christians are trying to make something work instead of talking to God and saying, is this going to work? Oh, no, this will work. Hey, I know this will work. I know they're not going to church, but I'll change them. Don't look for just what you can see. Look for what you can't see. Open your spiritual eyes. So how do you move in the Spirit? Hallelujah. Well, you use your spiritual senses to get a clearer picture, hey? So let me give you an example. Carol, would you come out here, please? You grab the cup under there. Yeah, just pull it down. That's it. So, actually, I might just hold it. So I'll hold the empty one.
Yep.
I'm going to give you the full one. So I'm going to hold this cup, and I want you to pour the water into that cup. Awesome. Not a drop out of there. Hey, now there's two reasons I got Carol to do that. Thanks, Carol. There's two reasons I got Carol to do that. Number one, to illustrate something, which I'll explain in just a moment. But number two, I wanted you to see that because 6 months ago, she couldn't do that. Hey, 6 months ago, she had suffered such a severe stroke that she was hospitalized with no movement in her right arm and bare minimal movement in her right leg. Or was it the other way around? Other way around. So no movement in her right arm or little movement in her leg. And anyway, she was having trouble. Just like I'm having trouble right now. Yep. And what did she do? She just used her faith and just believed God. Hey, but they got her to do that in the hospital and it just went everywhere except on the cup. But she stayed at it because she was using her faith to pull out of the spiritual realm, but she also needed her natural man to pour it. How did she pour one cup into that? She got the natural man and she poured it. How did she bring the healing? She got the spiritual man and pulled the healing into the natural. How do you move in the Spirit? You take the natural man and begin to do things in the natural realm. You use your natural man to do things in the natural. Use your spiritual man to do things in the Spirit. And it's complete. It's not a difficult thing to do. You can use, if you're born again, you have a spiritual man. And just as easily as you can pour a glass of water, it's just as easy for you to use your spiritual man to be able to do things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray in the Spirit just for a moment. Hang on. Sambalis kafastorum ucebra daskie. Olis kivaragia. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm seeing someone, and when you move your neck, it crunches. There's a crunching sensation when you move your neck. Who is that? When you move your neck, it's like there's a crunching that you experience from that. Who is that? That's all I got. There's a crunching sensation when you move your neck. Ola scapala ce sebre che descriva oje vescire cie drogo scafala cie pranga scafala. Let's just pray in the Spirit a bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Scalaboso for ish che per cie pranga scafala cie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm seeing someone who's struggling, or there's times where you struggle with a sense of balance, like you have a sensation where you lose your sense of balance. Who is that? Ola scapala cingri, ishke varachoso o brocoche. Oh, are you the neck or the balance? The balance? Oh, scapa. Sorry? Mm-hmm. Scambala ishkeveri cebrechesie. Just pray in the spirit a bit more. Casaveske perecie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isiverikosho prokoja. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kevara sobrojos keverikeshie. Hallelujah. O sapreri skeverikeshie. Ole skeverikeshie. Hallelujah. Are you the crunching? Hallelujah. All right, I'm seeing somebody who has problems in their left shoulder. Whether there's a lack of movement, is it sore? No? Well, come on, I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Left shoulder. Like, whether there's pain, I'm not sure. Is that you, Phil? What am I doing? All I'm doing is I'm just accessing with my spirit man, and anyone can do this. It starts with you understanding you are a spiritual being, that the Spirit of God lives in you. You're one with Christ. And then you can begin to pull that out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release now the power of God to flow in her. I command that balance, that sense of the loss of balance, in Jesus' name, you'll not return. You'll leave now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, which shoulder was it, Zion? This one? Thank you, Lord. You love Zion. We speak to this shoulder. We command it to be completely well and free of all pain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to move that around. Move your arm. Yep. Is that hurting you? There you go. You can thank the Lord, eh? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just pray in the spirit, everyone. Hey, let's just minister. Thank you, Lord God. O faleske e prajala, kalazovo o skim brejere kesie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just reach now with the Spirit. I just reach in. I just remove that problem in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There'll be no more crunching. Oskafalachie. And I command anything else in this body that doesn't belong there, you leave as well. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I release the love of God to flow in Jesus' name. Garavasho bros kiperiche ga aza. Pregeskovo oskafalachere. Trandeskifere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Arnie, would you come out here? Are you able to come out here? O scafala cebre che si verecie. Sandosco fosca. Now this word that I've got for Arnie, I believe it's for others as well. So if as I'm sharing this, if you see, oh, this, I can relate to that, or I can connect with that, then take it. It's a word from God for you as well. Hey, God showed me that you've often been misunderstood. Hey, and that happens at work, and that happens even in your family. Hey, and God wants you to know that he understands you completely, hey? And he loves you more than you can imagine. And he loves you immensely, hey? And even when people don't understand, but when you know in your heart you're doing the things that he's told you to do, just stay your course. Stay your course. They'll see it. They'll turn around. And they'll say, you are loved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kavashko ora kashi. So left shoulder, is it? Is it hurting now? Yep. All right. So right now, if you moved out. Yep. Okay. So you get to about there and then you. Yep. Yep. Okay. Hallelujah. Just reach out your hands to Phil. Lord, I thank you. You showed me this shoulder because you don't want it in his life. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I release the healing power of God. And I command this shoulder to be completely mended and free from restriction. Shoulder, you will operate as you are meant to, and there will be complete freedom of movement without any pain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I just want you to begin to move that. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. How's that? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How do you move in the Spirit? How did Carol pour the cup of water? She used her natural man. How do you move in the Spirit? Use your spiritual man. You have spiritual senses. The first thing you need to do is recognize and agree with God. You are a spiritual man. You are one with the Creator of the universe. I can ask God to show me things because he knows everything. I don't see everything about everyone. I don't know. I can only say what I see. But I can ask him because he knows everything and he lives in me. So I just get into that spiritual realm and say, show me something, God. And he'll show me something. How valuable would that be? How handy is that? So you need to know who you are. You are a natural man, but you are also a spiritual man. You are a believer. You are one with God. You're a child of God. You're deeply loved. Another powerful, powerful way of getting into the Spirit and moving in the Spirit is by praying in tongues. So, so powerful. The Bible calls praying in tongues. What's another word they use for it? Praying in the what? In the Spirit. Why? Because that's your spirit praying. To pray in tongues, you're praying with your spirit. What a simple way to get into the Spirit. You cannot pray in tongues without getting into the Spirit. The more you pray in tongues, the more you're practicing moving in the Spirit. How can you possibly move in the miraculous if you're not even willing to move in praying in tongues? It takes faith to pray in tongues. It takes faith to move in the other gifts of the Spirit. You'll never, to any significant extent, be able to be used of God in healing or any other gifts of the Spirit if you cannot fluently and regularly pray in tongues. That's just your doorway. Praying in tongues is not a destination. It's just a doorway that leads you into the other gifts. Hey? And so if you want to stay in the Spirit, you need to pray in the Spirit. It'll charge you up. It'll stir up the wisdom of God in you. This is one of the decided advantages that God has given us, that we can get ahead in life, is we can begin to pray those things and see them come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, have I created a hunger in you? I hope I have. I hope I have. Maybe you've got a lot more questions as a result of that. I would encourage you, listen over part one and part two. They'll both be up by tomorrow morning. And so there'll be a free download on the website. But if some of these things that I'm saying are kind of like, they feel like they're new, and it's like, I'm not sure I understand what that means. All that means is that you need to meditate on it, listen over it, and consider it and talk to the Lord. God will give you revelation in this, eh? But if you are not moving in the Spirit, you're like a soldier who goes to battle without a weapon. Now, can a soldier win a battle without a weapon? Probably. There's probably some chance, you know, maybe hand-to-hand combat. They may. But if the other soldier has a weapon and you don't, you're gone. Don't leave your weapon at home. learn the weapons that you have and learn how to get proficient in using these weapons. I haven't arrived by any means. But I've seen the more I've practiced this, the more real these truths have become, the more fluent I've become in moving in them. And you can too. Amen? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence here. I thank you for the plans that you have for us. And we choose to be doers of your word and not just hearers. I want you to say that. I am a doer of the word. I hear the word and I do the word. And so I am blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.